तेरे हजारों हाथ, जिस जिसने तेरा नाम लिया, जिस जिसने तेरा नाम लिया, तू हो लिया उसके साथ। साईं नाथ तेरे हजारों हाथ, साईं नाथ तेरे हजारों हाथ।
सो नमस्ते एवरीवन, it's really Baba's blessing. We're all here together in Delhi, and today there are two special books I would like to talk about. One is Living with Faith and Patience, which is based on the interview series that I did with Gautam over the last 7 or 8 years. I've had the good fortune to know Gautam for over 18 years. And Gautam's greatest gift is to bring teachings that can be applied in a very simple manner in one's day-to-day life. And being a Baba devotee, although his path was different, I requested him, I said, Gautam, if you don't mind, can we speak about Baba's teachings in daily life? And he first said, do you think people will be receptive to this? So I said, Gautam, let's try with one episode. Worst case, we won't do it. And we started. That was actually the beginning of the podcast series. And since then, you know, it was your love and receptivity that encouraged us to continue. Then after the series was over, it came into the form of this book. And we never ever thought we would sit together for satsangs talking about Baba, the teachings. But I can just say it's His will, His grace, His blessing. And quite literally, this is a very special home, by the way. It's the first time we're doing a satsang in someone's home. And Ritu and Shantanu are very close friends. And it would not be exaggeration, but to say that Baba lives in this house. I have come here since 2019, and it would really be not exaggerating saying Baba lives in this home. So I would encourage you, even after the satsang, those who live in Delhi, to please come. They have get-togethers every Thursday, so you must come. The second book that we've also published recently is a tribute to Dr. Vini Chitluri. She, for those of you who are not aware, was someone who dedicated her life to propagating Baba's message. She was a doctor based in the US, left everything, came to Shirdi, and for 25 to 30 years lived there and served. Did so much research on Baba's history, took people on walking tours every day, whether it's sunshine, rain, selflessly for 2.5 hours every morning. Unknown people, all sorts of people would come to all the places Baba had sanctified within Shirdi. Even around Shirdi, in her own car, she would take people. She wrote over 7 to 8 books. And after Narasimha Swamiji, in fact, she had met him when she was very young. At the age of 6, she met Daskanu Maharaj. And I say it was Swamiji who took Baba's message out, especially in South India. I would say single-handedly he was one of the people who took Baba's message through the length and breadth of India. And when those devotees came to Shirdi, she is the one who held their hand and took them around to preserve Baba's history. So this small biography is just a drop in the ocean, but pays homage to her great work. And I would encourage you to get a copy and read it if possible. Gautam, if you would like to.
I remember when Nikhil had moved to Goa. Which year was that?
This goes back about 14 years ago.
And he called to tell me that he had met this lady called Ai, who was a very simple devotee of Baba. And the thought came that he has to make a video on Ai. That was the start of the channel, Sai Baba's Devotee Speaks. It had very humble beginnings with a humble lady. The video he made on Ai and Meena Kapoor, if you all have seen these videos, these are the first two videos on the Sai Baba YouTube channel. And from then on, it has been relentless seva as far as Nikhil is concerned. I mean, I didn't have that quality of seva for my own guru when he was in the body. And to see this kind of dedication, one thing was clear. This seva is done through people. We are not capable of doing such seva on our own because it is relentless. And now, of course, what he is doing is acquiring rights to books which have disappeared on Sai Baba, bringing them back so that today's generation can access them. That is what he is busy with. Now, we used to say when we did videos that Sai Baba is making us work like donkeys. And once I had a dream, just 6 months ago, of Sai Baba sitting on a donkey. So I called Nikhil up in the morning. I said, "Hum toh fas gaye." I said, "This is going to go on for some time." You see, I was the skeptic because I knew that most people on Sai Baba's path were looking for miracles in their life. Something to change which would make their life better. And living in that hope, life was passing by. So they were living in an imaginary future which never came. And when I read certain sayings of Baba, that we all here to face our prarabdha karma, including myself, I concluded that the greatest gift, what Baba referred to as Brahma Gyan, was the gift of peace which he was giving, which was overlooked because the scale of miracles was so vast, so all-pervasive, that what was standing before us was not being seen. So I did tell him these would be the most unpopular videos on his channel with the least views. But somehow, through COVID and post-COVID, people appreciated this work, and that's the reason why we are here. Those who have felt that the teaching has touched their daily lives have been drawn to this, and that was our intent. So he has already spoken about these two books, Living with Faith and Patience, his interviews of our talks. And the nice thing of this book is there's a QR code at the end of each interview. So if you like what you read, you can see the video. And I didn't have the good fortune of meeting Vinima, but Nick would call me and tell me, "I met her, I filmed her, I did this, I did that." So it is as if we knew each other and I had tremendous respect for her. Because to give up your life and move to Shirdi, and not for yourself, but for seva of others, that was very inspiring. So I'm very glad that this historian, who was perhaps not acknowledged while she was alive, is being acknowledged now. Because this work is there for generations to come. So today we'll just speak very briefly on one or two topics, and then you are free to share your experience of if you'd like to ask something. And this pertains to a book by Narasimha Swami, who for me was the bridge between Ramana Maharshi and Sai Baba. Because Ramana Maharshi told Narasimha Swami, your guru is Sai Baba and you have to go there. This is after Baba had dropped the body. And when Narasimha Swami goes and stands at the samadhi, Baba speaks to him. So this, for me, Narasimha Swami was a very important bridge. Like Arthur Osborne was someone Ramana Maharshi sent and also said that you have to write Baba's biography. So one story in this book, Wondrous Saint, I don't know if it's out or a new edition is coming out.
It's out. It's a reprint.
A reprint. Is when someone goes to Baba and says, I saw this very attractive girl, beautiful woman, and I feel bad that I'm attracted to her. And Baba replies, what's wrong? You are a man. But thereafter, what Baba says, you go to a temple. In South India, the temples are beautiful. You see the exterior is so well carved, so intricate. But do you stop outside and then go away, or you still go inside to meet the God within? So like that, outer beauty can be admired, but the God is within. And this is what I have been speaking about since I started giving talks, that consciousness, the consciousness within me and within you is undefinable. It's like electricity, which animates me and you. It is the same force, but we see the exterior and we pass our judgments. Our likes, dislikes, opinions have already been formed when the person is standing in front of us, and we lose sight of the fact that the same consciousness is expressing itself through the other as through me. And so life becomes split into me versus you. Those who are dearest to me versus those who have troubled me the most in life. And then I live my life as a split human being because I have not recognized that the same electricity functions through all of us. Otherwise, we would be dead bodies. So having this drishti, this vision, is the vision of the third eye, the eye of singularity, because we are only using our physical eyes, which see multiplicity. But when we start seeing through the eye of Shiva, we see that everything is a reflection of the one self. This is called realizing the self. It is as simple as that. I may still have my preferences, but I absolve people of being responsible for doing things to me, because everyone is acting on their blueprint. But I take it personally. And therefore my peace gets destroyed. So this, you see, Sai Baba was the master of deception. Whatever he did was so simple that you didn't get it. If he took 2 paisa from you, you thought Baba's asked me for 2 paisa. Then he has to explain that the 2 paisa is actually Shraddha and Saburi. So the simpler the teaching, the harder it is to get. Because the mind does not like simple things. The mind loves complications. It loves to work things out because it feels I am in charge of my life. So that was one story which touched me in Wondrous Saint. And the other is what perhaps we can all relate to. When I think Nana offered a priest some money to renovate some temple steps, And once he was going by, he would go to a Datta Mandir every day. And the thought came, I'm not carrying the money, so I better find another way. Else, this priest will ask for money. He finds another way and he is walking on a rough path and he gets thorns in his foot. And he goes to Sai Baba, and Sai Baba at first does not talk to him and says, what are you doing? You are avoiding God because you can't keep your word. What kind of a devotee are you if you can't live the teachings? You see, so one thing is we can say we are devotees of Baba. But what is our conduct in the day? Are we living the teachings? We must be true and honest with ourselves, because the sadhana is not just going to a mandir for aarti. When Sai Baba tells Nana to make Puran Poli, I'm coming to your home, and he does not show up, I think it was Nana, he's very upset that you told me I went out of my way, made Puran Poli, you didn't show up. He said, I did. He said, you didn't. I did, you didn't. I did, you didn't. And then Baba said, I showed up as the ants who came and ate the Puran Poli. So this is the degree of awareness that is needed to say I'm a bhakt of Sai Baba. Do we have that awareness in daily living? That heightened state of awareness that all expressions of life are the one source consciousness. So for me, it is the highest teaching of Advaita. Put in the simplest terms. And we cannot have realization without sadhana. What is referred to as jnana tapas is to see all my actions in the day in the light of my master's teachings. That is the tapas. Otherwise, I'm fooling myself by saying I'm a great bhakt of Baba. I have 6 feet high posters in my house of Sai Baba. But are you living the teachings? It comes down to that. Are you a beacon of peace and a benediction of peace to the people in your life, or are you troubling them and taking away their peace? Because if you claim to have a master, any master, you represent the master. So we have to ask ourselves and be honest, in what spirit are we representing the master? Because the master is only concerned with one thing, your bhakti and the way you conduct yourself. And what is bhakti? We think it's directed only to the master. The master himself is saying, I live in all beings. So the ultimate bhakti is to accept everyone in your life as an instrument of the master. That is bhakti. To see God in everyone is bhakti. Then you can say you love your master because you follow the teachings and you see God in everyone. You cannot love your master and be a nasty person. If you feel you're a nasty person, even to a few people in your life, you have to relook at that. It does not mean you have to hug everyone, love everyone, but you have to accept everyone is conditioned by God, is playing out their script, and has a nature which has been determined by a higher power. That is the ultimate love, a total acceptance of multiplicity. And that is all.
I would like to add something about my interactions with Dhanima. She was usually not very lavish with her praise for people. But in Gautam's case, she would refer to him as Gautam Sir. And since she lived in Shirdi for close to 25 years, there were many Palki groups that would come from various cities like Bombay, Pune. And they would make a great, it was a tapas in one way, to come walking in the heat. And she would say that some of them will come to the tea shop vendor and argue over 2 rupees. And she really enjoyed the talks with Gautam because she said, see, this is the thing, that the teachings are there. You come, you worship Baba, but it's not being implemented in daily life. And she gave the example of the tea vendors, that they'll come and pettily pick quarrels over 2 rupees. And in a very simple way, if I had to put it to sum it up, to be in Baba's good books, if one just harmonizes one's heart, speech and thought, and in our interactions with people, even if, as Gautam said, something is not pleasant, as he said, we don't have to hug people and love them, but to at least have goodwill to others, not have criticism or judgment, that opens the doorway, like the floodgates for Baba's grace to come into our lives. And it's no coincidence that in the first chapter, the second chapter of the Charitra, Baba holds up Hemarpant for being argumentative. So I think this really, why did it start with that? And that was one of the reasons I really requested Gautam, because at that time his teachings were only on Advaita on his channel, and I'm very grateful, Gautam, that you gave us so much time over the years. And there have been many devotees who have been impacted, the feedback that I get. So, very grateful. If anyone would like to share their experience or have any questions that you would like to ask, you're most welcome.
So the first, I think so, the ad hoc video which just erupted in one of the WhatsApp was of Gautamji's, wherein he talks to a person and telling that the person had lost faith in Sai Baba, and he explains on imprisonment and rigorous imprisonment. I think so, that just opened my eyes to something which I could never think of. So that was the time when I actually said, no, this person has something. And when during COVID, you people started interacting and I tried to, you know, kind of share it with as many. And one video which came up was about 9 minutes something on a meditation you did with those. It was a different class of divinity. And I realized, what is this Sai doing with these two people? Because I have Mr. Ghai sitting with me. I met him, who's the owner of Sterling. And I did write some books with him on Baba in 97 onwards. So that was another generation of his and still active. And then I could see you guys doing it. So, and I was just waiting, when would it happen in Delhi in terms, and I would be there. Now, my one small question to any one of you who can. The Naam Smaran to me, in any form of whatever literature we talk about, Kali Yuga and as per the Sai, is that how long do we take the Naam? Somebody says, not much, only till the time you are breathing. Till the time you are breathing, take the name. Nothing, you don't have to do once the breathing stops. Now my question is that through Sai's grace, I do try to do the Sai Smaran, but there is another mind which is subconscious, which is probably thinking of Krishna, Radha, and then I start saying, no, I don't want to go to your original forms. Now in the devotee's mind, a conflict is coming. Sai is in Krishna, Muralidhar becomes the Sai, is all there. But your isht is something which you want to be with all the time, when your isht is another roop. But inside the devotee's minds, a devotion is playing a conflict. That am I now? How do I get back to my Sai's name when the Narayan Smaran is going? So I get angry with my own self. Both Sai and Narayan are same. But no, my heart says, no, please come back to Sai. And then I get irritated. So I don't know what to do. This is my question to you.
At least it's only the names of God you are reciting. And no bad words are going on in your mind. Right? So the thing is that when we imbue too much doership in our practice, it becomes a punishment. And Sai Baba is not here to punish you. If naturally Narayan's name is coming, let it come. Thy will be done. When it is meant to stop and Naam Smaran is to start, it will start of Sai Baba. Because you are aware. Otherwise, you would not even ask this question. So I would say that don't put in too much effort, because that is doership. And with that comes guilt. And this is just the antic of the ego. Try your best. Leave the rest to God. I go to certain ashrams. When I'm in one ashram, I hear the kirtan that's going on in my consciousness. When I visit the other ashram, that ashram's kirtan is still going on in my consciousness. So I don't punish myself and say, I should not be thinking about that. I should only be thinking. I didn't think, it arises. What is meant to arise, arises. And it is honored for what it is. As long as the intent is clear, you see, Nisargadatta Maharaj said that in any practice, earnestness is the key. You are trying to control the result of that earnestness. That you have to leave to Baba. But we have to be earnest. See, I said yesterday, perhaps it was very strong. I felt in hindsight. But it is the truth I feel we all need to know. This is the Mrityu Lok. We are all here in the Loka of death. That means all our lessons are to do with death. Otherwise, we would not be here. We would be on another loka. And what is death? Is the death of the ego with its sense of separation. Because in deep sleep, we have no fear of death. In the waking state, we have fear of death. So who has the fear of death? Impersonal consciousness in deep sleep is not concerned about death. In fact, you wake up the next day and say, I slept very well. So this ego which comes in the waking state is afraid to die. And how? You say, which movie have you seen which you loved? Give me a name. Maine Pyar Kiya. You tell me, I loved Maine Pyar Kiya. And I tell you, really, I hated it. And you get offended. Why? Because you have identified with the movie, you have loved it, and someone dare have an opposite point of view. So the ego takes offense because it is now threatened. What I have identified as a great movie, someone else has criticized it. And this is how bad thoughts, negative thoughts emerge in my consciousness. I can't take it that someone has an opinion different from mine. Then all my torpedoes are out. So the content of one's consciousness is what one needs to be concerned with. Because thought, word and deed, as he said, I needn't be a physically violent person to be a violent person. I could be violent in thought. And that is enough. The karma starts there only. So the sadhana, whether it is Baba's or any sadhana, is to be vigilant as to what is the content of my consciousness. So I'm doing Naam Smaran, but if when I'm not doing it, my content is ill will, spite, hatred, jealousy, malice, condemnation, blame, guilt, shame, pride, arrogance. What is the use of the Naam Smaran? But if I live the teachings and all that garbage is dissolved, that is Naam Smaran. That is Naam Smaran. And what is Japa? Japa is so that my thoughts are taken away from the mundane to a focus. Mantra means mantra. Means man, the mind, to liberate it. How? From the mundane stream of thoughts, focus on Naam Smaran. That is the function. But till the japa becomes the ajapa jap. I say Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya. Till a point that I don't need to say it anymore, it comes up on its own. That is the end of doership. Till a point I go, then the mantra takes over. But in Sai Baba's case, and I implore all devotees of Baba, the Naam Smaran is not meant to be just a practice. It is living the teachings as the Naam Smaran.
Any other questions or sharing?
Om Sai Ram, Namaskar. I very fortunate to have attended. I was supposed to be traveling. So when you said share an experience, I was supposed to be traveling, and I don't know how, by the grace of Sai, I received a message that there's a session. And I am from Gurgaon. I recognize some people from Gurgaon. And, for all these years having lived there, I was not introduced to this, this beautiful way to express Sai's devotion. So I was, I thanked Sai Baba for, bringing me this opportunity. And then the travel plans came up. And I very reluctantly said that I can't join. Again, by the grace of Sai, when the plans got changed, and it was being a Sunday, and the entire family being home, one part of me was to just, not come. Because I was supposed to be, taking care of certain things. But then once, I guess it is the calling of Sai that you are, you get the determination to imbibe his teachings. And I really, I think recognized the message when you said that, one of the things that one has to do daily is to have a discussion, right? And you have a discussion at work, at home, with kids, and you realize that while you are trying to give a very balanced perspective, a lot of times egoism does creep in because you believe something is right because you have an intuition or you have a feeling that this is right, and hence you kind of push harder to put forth your point of view. And that's where, the line between, whether it's my ego which is driving me to continue the discussion, or should I actually fall back on my faith and say that, let God take care of it. I do not want to discuss this further. So that's where I need to, just get some, just what is the message from Sai on this aspect of egoism breed discussion?
In the book Purna Parabrahma, there is a word Baba used, pahu. We will wait. And the fundamental teaching of patience. So often when people present their view, if we just hear them silently, in most cases, sometimes the response may not be required, but it comes out of habit. So just to be patient and wait, 90% of things will fall away, is my personal experience. So patience, and just remember Baba's word, pahu. And I would recommend you read that book, Purna Parabrahma.
See, I'd like to add something here. If we find we are repeating ourselves to convince someone else, it means we are trying to force an outcome. The sage has no interest in repeating himself or herself. They will mention it once and leave the rest to God's will. Because to repeat oneself on and on is too much doership. So much pran shakti is leaving you when you repeat yourself. And actually, if you ask a therapist, the more you repeat things, the more you're telling yourself those things. You see? So on this path, because we are willing to let go of what we assume is the right view or the correct view, we still have the view, we express it and leave it.
Thank you. Om Sai Ram. So I have a question which I think we all can relate to in some way or the other. So in one chapter in the Satcharita, so Mr. Sathe comes and he asks for something from Baba, and Baba says that, you know, and he gives basically an updesh. And Himatpand was sitting there shampooing Baba's legs. And so he says that, you know, I have been here for so many years, while Mr. Sathe comes here for such a short period of time and gets some updesh. And that is where Baba tells him to go to Shama and take 15 rupees as Dakshinaya. So, you know, that I could relate to that, and I think a lot of people would relate, is that of the unsettled mind, right? We have a lot of things that come to our mind and it is really unsettled. Like, I think we always attach to some result that we seek or desire, which makes the mind, you know, not completely surrender, like we talk about to Baba. So, you know, how to process that? Like, I know that surrender is the only path, right? But to really put it into action and not really attach to the outcome and have a mind where I say, you know, whatever Baba desires is the best. So one, to like speak that whatever Baba desires is the best, but to actually believe it. So how to cross that bridge where I no longer have, you know, a lot of thoughts which conflict with each other, where I'm completely at peace with an acceptance with what Baba wants. So how to, you know, cross that bridge? Thank you.
I'll share with you my own sadhana that I do all the time, very simple, and then I'll ask Gautam to share. A very simple filter I have in any moment, in any situation, in anything, any interaction, whatever comes, the question I ask myself with my thought, conduct, deed, intent, is how would Baba feel about this? So if a difficult situation presents itself, or whatever be the circumstance, that filter helps me know that I conduct myself in a manner that my guru would be happy with me. Surrender is an incremental process. So even that thing to say that I have to surrender, so there also being patient, as long as we are earnest and sincere, the peace that you experience within incrementally, at least you know you're going in the right direction. Because a person who's truly surrendered will not say, I have surrendered. There's nothing left there, right? So this is my personal process that has helped me a lot. Very simple. And it applies universally to everything. So if you find yourself in a difficult situation also, say someone speaks to you poorly, now you have a chance to implement all the teachings from the Charitra in that moment. And that then becomes a positive affirmation for you when you come into another situation. So if you're in the right thing, these things build up.
I feel when we are too much involved in doership, that is when the mind starts rotating. What should I do? This, 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 this. Then our natural inclination for the taking the decision is covered by the thinking mind. See, you go into a shop to buy a shirt. You have money for one. And you see a yellow shirt and a blue shirt. Instinctively, you will like one more than the other. Where did that instinct come from? Did it come from your mind or your nature? So this instinct we all have. But the mind is now second guessing. And it's rotating and going on and on and on. And then I get very confused. What is Baba trying to tell me? What Baba is trying to tell you is follow your intuition. Now, coming to surrender, I'll tell you an interesting story which I often repeat. There was a Sufi mystic called Bhai Sahib. And he had a Russian devotee who moved and stayed with him in Kanpur. So one day there was a chair in the courtyard and he said, how wonderful this blue chair is. I don't remember the exact colors, but the master said how wonderful this is or something to that effect. And she said, Bhai Saab, it's nice, but it's a black chair. He said, no, it's blue. She said, no, it's black. He said, no, it's blue. She said, it's black. He said, all right. If you say it's black, it's black. She said, but it is black. And he said, it is black because you are seeing it as black, but I'm telling you it's blue, so why don't you see it as blue? Now, what was he doing in this interaction? When you surrender to the master, you take what the master says as the truth and you keep your mind aside. Because she ended by saying, all right, if you say it's blue, it's blue. He said, no. If I say it's blue, you have to see it as blue. So the master is showing you the path for your journey of life because they have been there and done that. But our minds are very limited and we are navigating life through that limitation. So we cannot buy it if we see a black chair and the master says it's blue. So surrender comes when we surrender this thinking mind at the feet of the master and say, thy will be done. That is surrender. Then you will find a good measure that if you know, am I surrendered or not, is my thinking mind is dissolved. And I'm in living in peace. Qualities of the self, realization of the self, expresses as peace, equanimity and calm. The turbulent mind is the mind of the ego, which is lost in the dead past or an imaginary future. That is a quality of the mind. The mind creates the ripples on the water, the waves, but the self is the deep ocean which is ever unmoved. So turbulence in the mind means the me is very strong. It's worried about me, my life, my story, my drama, what will happen to me. That shakes me up. Then I can't sleep at night because the mind is still active at night. The one who has surrendered is at peace.
Namaskar Gautamji. I feel I don't sleep every day, every night. There's something at the back which never sleeps. I put on my headphones on and listen to your talks. So I feel though my body has gone into sleeping mode, but my ears are open. They keep on listening.
So are you happy or is that a complaint?
No, I'm... And the very next day, the slate is all clean.
Beautiful.
Everything is forgotten. Why is it so? And I fail Babaji's teaching every day. And I'm aware of it.
If your slate is clean every morning, there's nothing left. Because that means your slate will be clean when it's time for you to depart from here. If your slate is clean when it's time to depart, that's moksha. Moksha is, yesterday I was saying, what is moksha? Is liberation from myself only. Because I am the problem. The
yes.
Ego is itself the problem and moksha is moksha from the ego. So if the slate is clean, it means the thinking mind is dissolved. Nobody to condemn, nobody to blame, including myself.
But I do blame myself.
So then the slate is not clean. Then it's not a clean slate. If you have the confidence to realize now that supposing God comes and stands before you and says, I'm now taking you back home. Any famous last words? And your speech is, where do you say thank you to everyone I have met in my life from the moment of birth till this last point, those who have loved me, those who have troubled me, those whom I have loved, who didn't reciprocate the love, those whom I didn't love, whom I should have. But all of you, I thank you because you have made me learn something about life, and my blessings are for you. My best wishes are for you, for your life's journey in this life. And I have no regrets, no hatred for anyone, no ill will, no spite, no condemnation. God bless you all. Then your slate is clean. Now, these teachings are the teachings that prepare you for death. Because if you are willing to die today to all of this garbage, you're prepared for death. And when you're prepared for death, you know how to live. You see, it's the same thing. It is the same thing.
Beautiful, Gautamji. Thank you so much.
So you kind of answered my question already, well, just articulated. It seems to me that whatever the teachings are, point to essentially not surviving, essentially in a way that it's like death, right? My question is everybody prepared for death? Or is it just a mental thing that you have to read the books and tell yourself that this is the way it is, and then you have to psychologically prepare yourself? Or is there something deeper to preparing yourself for that kind of death, which is a meta, it's more of a, you know, symbolic death?
I just said that the teachings are to make you live. Then the preparation for death happens on its own. Otherwise, you'll be preparing for death and your daily living will be a mess. The Guru is here to clean your garbage, but you have to be also willing to throw it out, because we don't want to throw out the garbage, we are identified with it. When that is thrown out, then you are the blank slate. Then you are already prepared for death while you are alive. It is not an end goal.
We're not all willing though, right? To throw away the garbage.
Yes, but those who are in satsangs like this have the potential, because the truth has drawn. Satsang means the company of truth. The sheer fact that we are sitting here together means that potential is there. Otherwise, you would live a life of ignorance. So God is gracious enough to make us interested in these topics. Otherwise, you'd be busy partying, watching Netflix all the time, living a mundane life. But something is there which says, I want to know what is the illusion, what is the Maya, and what is the truth. Otherwise, you would not be here. And the truth is that which cannot die, which is eternal. So you are already preparing for death. You don't need to add to that preparation. You see how the ego comes in through the back door? That force which has brought me on the spiritual journey will prepare me for death. Yes, I have to do my job, which is living the teachings. Living Sai Baba's teachings is the preparation of death. You don't need to do anything else. What a gift this master has given us. Actually, Sai Baba is the most unique phenomenon, I think, ever in manifestation, for one reason. I have never come across, in whatever I have read, someone who had the ability to see Rinanubandhan across 72 generations. 72. He could see the link between people going back Now, why I love this is because indirectly it points me to one thing. It is all about relationships, rinanubandhan. Daily living is about relationships. This is the realm of duality, the realm of two. You have been born into the realm of two. Up and down, left and right, front and back, rich and poor, health and disease, me and the other, pleasure and pain. This is the dualistic world. It is a relationship between two. The rin, which is a bondage, is the bandhan. Anyone you meet in your life, whether it is your child, your parent, your friend, your staff member, you are meeting on account of rinanu bandhan. And that is why this master's teaching is so close to me. Because my own guru, when he was in the body, would say, daily living means relationships. And when we realize that relationships are not two, but your relationship is your relationship with God, then the bandhan is broken. Then you have freed the other and you have freed yourself. This relationship was not meant to work out, so it didn't. No guilt, regret, hatred, malice. Then you have absolved the other person. Then you don't need to learn that lesson with that person again. So when this is the buzzword for me for Sai Baba's teachings, Rinanu Bandhan, because I took it a step forward for myself, that there are three kinds of relationships. Relationships with people in my life, relationship to what happens in my life. It is a relationship. How do I relate to the next challenge which comes my way is a relationship. And how do I relate to myself? Do I hate myself or do I love myself? There is no other kind of relationship except these three. And when I realize my relationship with others is my relationship with God, my relationship with what happens in my life, which God has brought, reflects my relationship with God, and my relationship with myself is a reflection of my relationship with God, then there is no bandhan. That is the end of the story. To see the hand of God above everyone, then you are free. So this master really had this uncanny ability and focused on it, you see. It is the, as Nisargadatta Maharaj said, Sai Baba was the absolute. And for Ramana Maharshi to send two of his trusted devotees to Shirdi means to see the absolute in expression and therefore see his core concepts of the teaching being Rinanubandhan being one of them, and to make sure we understand this concept repeatedly. I think Sai Baba must have got fed up, must have banged his head against the wall of the masjid, that I'm trying to teach these people all the time, it's about Rinanubandhan. Every second story in the Charitra is about that. Your quest for God has to include all your relationships. It's as simple as that.
Okay. This particular aspect of our daily life, it's been troubling me for some time, and I've been searching for the answers, asked many people, but I haven't got it, but maybe you'll have the answer. On the one side, in trying to understand life, I've been very closely trying to read up on, in psychology. So you have Gabor Mate and all these people who are telling you no trauma in your life, this, that. So whatever you are today is because of some trauma at some point in time. And this is one way I try to understand myself and my relationships. Yeah, this is what happened, or the personality of so and so and so and so. But when I come and participate in a satsang, I find the outlook is very different. Like when you explain in terms of Vrinanubandha, or you know, this is the karmas you've been born with, and so on and so forth. The pura, you know, the whole slant shifts. I mean, the way you try to understand relationships and whether they work out or not, whole thing simply, like you have a, say, whether a child or a husband or a friend who's psychologically a narcissist or something, and you say, ah, you know, that is why his personalities are that, you know, he feels entitled, he feels whatever, you know. So you try to understand, haan, abhi bichara kya karega, you know, he's a narc, so entitled feel karega, he'll feel the, you know, Trump is like that and so on. But then when this way of understanding comes in, then that appears to be nirarthak, you know, I mean, why are we going into that? Is that right?
Yes. That is why I say people should stick to their portfolio. But we go about freely at parties giving our views on the war and politics and this and that because we feel we know it all and our view is right. And our portfolio, as Ramana Maharshi said, the purpose of life is to realize the self. For any sadhak in any ashram and any form of yoga, whether it is Kriya Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Gyan Yoga, Karma Yoga, the purpose of life is to realize the self. And so interest in the mundane starts dropping away.
Yeah.
And our attachment to it, our attachment to our interest in the mundane also starts dropping away.
Like, no matter who I've met, who's on this road, they'd say, okay, don't read the newspaper so much and don't watch the TV news and all. And I would say, isn't it my moral responsibility to know what's going on and who's the right and who's wrong? Samajhna chahiye na? So you should know what's going on in your country or in the world. And then am I just passing judgments like that? Or I want to be objective about it. So if you read up in your own country what's going on and you have a journalist like Ravish Kumar saying one thing and then you have the cacophony of our media that is saying something else. And so you have all the andhabhakta also. So I don't know, I felt it's my moral responsibility. I should know who's right or wrong. But then
it is for your moral responsibility to yourself. I watch the news also because I need to know for myself what's going on. But the difference is I don't take a position on it. So I don't lose my sleep.
Why don't you take position?
I have no interest. I may have a view, but beyond that, it doesn't exist.
But what is right and...
For you. What is right for you may not be right for me.
No, what I consider right is not what you consider right, but...
As long as you accept that.
But then you will consider something else right, no?
But is that your problem? No, we have to be honest. Because if your job is to convince me that I am wrong, you will start losing sleep. You see
no,
how the ego
like
works?
If there's Iran, Israel, India, US and all. So you want to know, okay, is it the third world starting off? It has already started off. Look where gold has gone. Look where stocks and shares have gone. So apni zindagi ko, you got to sort out also, no? No, you have
try your
to.
Best.
So then you have to know what's right, what's wrong.
Okay, so you put your money in gold when you think it's right. Now the stock market is down, buy shares if you think it's right. And
no,
take
I don't have
decision.
That kind of money at all. But I just want to, what I'm wanting to know is, should I not know whether Iran, America are right?
If you have an interest, you should know. Where's the problem? I'm not understanding where the problem is. I have an interest. So I like to hear the news. But I am not too attached to what I hear because half of it is fake and we don't know which is fake, which half is fake. In my advertising days, there was a saying that half the advertising budget of any company is a waste of money, but we don't know which half. So we still have to spend the whole thing. It's so relative, no? If we are specifically talking about this war and you belonged to the Jewish community, you would have a general point of view which they will have. If you belong to the other community, you will have that because you are a conditioned being. The person who's on the spiritual journey can still have views, can still have a side to choose, but will not lose sleep over it because that person knows the hand of God is running the whole show. That person knows, like a game of chess, all the pieces on the chessboard are being moved by a hand above. And whether there's a pawn, king, bishop, knight, queen, king, there's just an instrument which the hand above is moving. And whether the white wins the game or loses the game to the black, at the end of the game, all pieces go into the same box. So they don't lose sleep over this.
Got it. The gist is don't lose sleep. Okay. I go into cycles of days when I'm listening every time and then I say, nahi, bilkul galat hai.
In a very simplistic manner, the whole purpose of sadhana, getting into and deeper into the spiritual path, is we go on an inward journey. These outward things matter less and less. Because see, if we get so involved with the world, it's outside of you. When I say inner, it's your inner state of how you feel, what's going on within. So you become more aware. Then as you make this your priority, like say if you're a Baba devotee, rather than watching the news, you will read your Satcharit. So that choice, if we can exercise, maybe choice is not the right word, by His grace, if that shift happens, that you start going more inward and you start experiencing the joy, then these outward changes, the flux, which is always the case, for time immemorial, it's been like that, it'll always be like that. The force, these outside forces will have a lesser and lesser effect on you. But that choice you have to exercise in each moment. In a very simple manner, yeah.
You are responsible for the wars which are within your own consciousness. You know, you have, you means we all, have lined up all these terms I'm hearing now. You have a battalion of drones in your consciousness sending it out to watch everyone, get the gossip, see what they say, what they do, whom to attack when. All the missiles, including hypersonic missiles, we all have. They are aimed and ready. So, yes, because we have got lost in the realm of separation. That is why they say the greatest gift we can give the world is our peace. When Nisargadatta Maharaj was asked, is there any benefit of being in the physical proximity of a sage? He didn't answer directly. He said the trees which are near the sandalwood tree in a forest start emitting the same fragrance.
You know, I was reading the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna and he said, it struck me, like I read it long back, but that has never gone from my mind, that the greatest responsibility a human being has is that he should become self-realized.
Yes. That is why Nisargadatta Maharaj said there was a social activist who had gone to him. And he said to her, after she said about the great work she was doing, he said, you think that the world needs saving, but actually the world needs saving from you.
Om Sai Ram. So, sir, you had a very good example of choosing between a blue shirt and a yellow shirt, conveying it's either your mind or intuition speaking to you. Sir, can you please enlighten us how to differentiate if it's your intuition or your mind that is actually speaking to you?
Normally, the first thought is the intuition.
But then we have repetitive thoughts and
that is
then
the mind.
I don't know if it's intuition or mind trying to convince you for the either.
That is the job of the mind.
Om Sai Ram, Gautam. I don't know if this question that I'm asking has been asked in the Sangha right now because I couldn't hear, but my question again is that, you know, let's say you're in a family where one is disrespected So, what I want to understand is, do you do the self work, or do you say, yes, Baba is there and he's going to take care of the situation?
Baba may take care of the situation, but you have to decide, can I take this disrespect or not? You have to see what choices are offered to you. Do you have a choice to tell that person who's disrespecting you, or you don't have the choice? Do you have the choice to avoid that person? Why should one be disrespected? It all depends on your life situation, but the buddhi you have to... Baba is not going to come down and stand with you physically and sort your problems out. So you have to take decisions in life, knowing that all you can do is try your best and leave the results to God. But it does not mean that maybe Baba is teaching me what to learn from disrespect, because then I can get into an abusive relationship. Once I have learned that this person is being disrespectful to me, but I've learned my lessons. They are not the doers of their actions. I've absorbed them. They are playing out their script. Maybe they were abused when they were young. We don't know. We don't want to get into the backstory. Once I am freed of that rin, where I'm no longer blaming an individual for disrespecting me, but the situation is a disrespectful one, then I take a more objective decision. Instead of reacting to the disrespect, I respond. And I do precisely that which I think and feel I should do. You see how the dynamic changes? Most of the time, we are reacting to life. Reacting. React. React. When there's the dawn of realization, the reaction becomes a response, an objective response. This is Ganpati. The belly, the big belly of Ganpati and the trunk is when the Agnya Chakra, which is the third eye, and the Manipur Chakra is aligned and working together. That is the buddhi. When I operate from that level, I see things as they are. I don't think it should not be like that, it should be like that. That is dropped. And I find I'm taking better decisions. So the remover of obstacles, the lord of auspicious beginnings, these are all attributes of Ganpati, and it expresses, this energy expresses itself through me, because I'm not using these eyes anymore, but this eye and this space of emotions, which is the Manipur Chakra, is stable and balanced, and I'm not being rash about it.
Om Sai Ram. So, I think since 2006, I have been with Baba. That's the first time when I went to Shirdi. And Baba has been very, very, very kind. And in every which way, I see him everywhere in my life, right? I have been reading his teachings, his Sai Satcharitra, but I do feel that I have not been a very good devotee of his, because what he wants me to do, I'm not doing it to 100%. And I have identified one of the biggest hurdles is fear. And I'm not talking about big fears. It could be small fears. What if this doesn't happen? Or what if this happens? And that somewhere comes in the way of me, you know, 100% surrendering to him or the, you know, the force. How do I get rid of this fear? Because I've reached a stage where I feel I want to get rid of this. I want to be free of this fear. And that's what stands in the way of me and my Baba. And it's very weird. There are times when he keeps, you know, like you open a book or something, you see he's sending you this message. And there's one message he says, I've been with you for so long, you still don't trust me. So what, and it's not that I don't trust him, right? I mean, it's just that that fear comes in the way and I'm not able to follow the thing to the T. So some practical tips would be very helpful.
You know, this is unfortunately a very common phenomena I've come across, where many devotees in short, what he said is that sometimes he has fears that become like an obstacle in his relationship with Baba, and he questions himself there and he wants to overcome that. So this is a common thing. Many people who've been with Baba for many years, no matter how many experiences also they've had, sometimes have this thing that, am I worth it? Will he get angry with me? Will this happen? Will that happen? And I tell them, see, as important as it is to treat others well, you have to treat yourself also with equanimity. See, self-judgment is also an infliction like you do onto someone else. So this has to be looked at first. The second thing that you brought up was, see, there is a specific relationship in bhakti all devotees have with their isht. In our case, it's Baba. So suppose you say, I'm the child of Baba. I refer to myself as the servant of Baba. So with each relationship that you, that select one that you have certain attributes, and you have leeway. If you're Baba's child, totally surrender to him. A child makes mistakes, so why do you think about it? So if, as long as you call to him and have faith in that relationship, that wo bolte na haq banta hai, leave it at that. So stick to that one relationship with those attributes. Like if you see him as your mother, your father, guru, whatever it is, you can replace that fear with, Baba, I'm your child. If not you, where else will I go? And I leave this to you. So replace it with that and you will see. It's okay if it arises also, but replace it.
I'll just add one thing. I have not come across anyone who could get rid of their fears. But when fear arises, to witness it arising is the sadhana. The problem is that fear we take on as my fear. That becomes the problem. Some people are programmed to be fearful. Some kids are programmed to be timid. Some are programmed to be strong. So my understanding of fear is, the more we try to get rid of fear, the more the fear will manifest. But when we witness fear arising and we don't take delivery of it, it dissipates. The ego loves to claim this movement as mine. It is just a movement. And it is, you're freed of it with that realization, and then it starts dissipating on its own. That's my two penny bits.
So thank you everyone for joining us today. Yes, that's Vanda Baba's grace. Jyoti is here. We'd request her to sing us a small bhajan for Baba and then
perform.
Sadguru Sainath Maharaj ki jai. He Ram Ramaiya wo, He Krishna Kanhaiya wo, Vahi mera saai hai. Sat karm raho par chalna sikhate jo, vahi jag deesh hai. Ho prem se pukar, prem se pukar, tere paap wo jalayenge. Prem se pukar, prem se pukar, tere paap wo jalayenge. Tujhe gale se lagayenge, thoda dhyan दौड़े दौड़े आएंगे, थोड़ा ध्यान लगा, कृपा की छाया में बैठाएंगे तुमको, कहाँ तुम जाओगे, उनकी दया दृष्टि जब जब पड़ेगी तुम ये भाव तर जाओगे, हो ऐसा है विश्वास, ऐसा है विश्वास, मन में ज्योत वो जगाएंगे, ऐसा है विश्वास, ऐसा है विश्वास, मन में ज्योत वो जगाएंगे, तुझे गले से लगाएंगे, थोड़ा ध्यान लगा, थोड़ा ध्यान लगा, बाबा दौड़े दौड़े आएंगे, थोड़ा ध्यान लगा, ओ पालन हारे निर्गुण और न्यारे, तुमरे बिन हमरा कोनो नहीं, हमरी उलझन सुलझाओ भगवन, तुमरे बिन हमरा कोनो नहीं, कि बाबा बिन हमरा कोनो नहीं, ऋषियों ने मुनियों ने गुरु शिष्य महिमा का किया गुण गान है, साईं जी के चरणों में झुकती सकल सृष्टि झुके भगवान है, हो महिमा है अपार, महिमा है अपार, सच की राह वो दिखाएंगे, महिमा है अपार, महिमा है अपार, सच की राह वो दिखाएंगे, तुझे गले से लगाएंगे, थोड़ा ध्यान लगा, थोड़ा ध्यान लगा, बाबा दौड़े दौड़े आएंगे, थोड़ा ध्यान लगा, सद्गुरु साईनाथ महाराज की जय, थैंक यू।